James chapter 1 this afternoon, and we begin at verse number 20. James chapter 1, beginning at verse number 20. Let's read 20, 21, and 22. James 1, 20, 21, and 22. Starting at verse number 20 together. For the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. Wherefore lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the engrafted word, which is able to save your souls. For we hearers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. All right, verse 20. The wrath of man. What? How would you define wrath?
Anger.
Anger is one of them. That's right.
More than anger.
Hatred. Hatred and extreme anger. It's a very strong anger. Entering in probably fisticuffs or, hip punching somebody or whatever. The wrath of man. Do men and women have wrath?
Every day.
Yeah, it's part of the works of the flesh, isn't it? Works of the flesh. Christians are, how many natures do Christians have? Say, born again Christian.
How many natures?
Natures, yeah. How many natures? So the flesh and the spirit. We have the two natures. Is the flesh capable of wrath?
Yep.
Yes, that's right. So we got to be very careful. And as it says, the wrath of God, man, working out the righteousness of God. What is the righteousness of God? How does someone get that? Did anybody in this world? What is it? Through the Lord Jesus Christ?
And
through his righteousness. How does that obtain?
By receiving Jesus as our Savior.
Receiving the Lord Jesus Christ genuinely as our Savior and Redeemer. Very important. Questions at bfdbc.org or 856-261-9018. Give us a call, question or comment, or just say hello. Only by the genuine faith in the Lord Jesus Christ can we receive the righteousness of God. Now, what do you have, huh?
Well, I just want an explanation of the wrath of man. That's not good, I guess.
That's very bad.
God, but, God is not going forever, whatever it is.
Yes, the wrath of God on the wolves that are lost, it says in John 3:18. He that believeth on him is not condemned. He that believeth not is condemned already because he has rejected the only begotten Son of God. But the wrath of God abideth on him. What's that? Was that 3:36? 3:18? 3:17?
Somewhere around there. I remember it. You're right around there.
See if we can find that. He that believeth not, but the wrath of God abideth on him. You got it, Cass?
No, I thought
you did. Oh, you thought you did. Anybody got that? John 3, what?
I have it.
Yeah, got it? What is it?
18.
Okay, 18.
You're right. You're right.
Read it for us.
Oh, okay. He that believeth not on him is not
condemned.
It's not condemned. But he that believeth not is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God.
That's 3:18. But what about the wrath of God abideth on him? That's good. That's 3:7. 3:18. That's good. But
right.
Someone finds that the wrath of God abideth. See to believe that.
Oh, it's
condemned already. Says the wrath of God abideth him. Everybody find that?
Three
3:36. Well, read that for us, please.
Beautifully from the Son. Hath everlasting life, he believeth not the Son of God, shall not see life. The wrath of God abideth on him.
Good, we finally found 3:36. Now, that was one of those. The wrath of God abideth on him. What does that mean, the wrath of God abideth? Who is he, does the wrath of God abide on?
Ones who don't believe.
Those who do not believe and receive the Lord Jesus Christ. God's wrath. Where will God's wrath end somebody that rejects Christ? Where will God put these people? In hell, the lake of fire. That's a terrible thing, isn't it? Now, is one of the attributes of God only love, as some modernist liberals teach? Is he just a God of love and that's all? Are there other attributes that he has?
Justice.
Justice? What else? He is a God of love. He has love as one of the attributes, but justice? What is it? What's it?
Holiness.
Holiness. All right, holiness. What is it?
Jealous.
He's a jealous guy. He wants us to be what he's supposed to be. What else? Truth, all these things. So he is a righteous God, and but part of his attributes, wrath against what?
Sin.
Wrath against, that's sin, that's
sin.
Who should we have wrath against? What should we have wrath against if we're saved, born again, Christian?
Well, the enemy.
The devil, surely. What else? Just like God. Against sin, that's right. Wrath against sin. Very important that we have this golden hatred toward that which is sin. Now, is that only sin against in someone else's life?
No, in our own first.
It's a sharp for our own sin, absolutely. If we don't have wrath against our own sins, it's like the person trying to cast out this little tiny speck in the neighbor's eye, but there's a big builder's eye beam in there I can't even see. So you take away the builder's beam, and then you can see how to catch that. So sin is brings the wrath of God against us, and we've got to be against sin in our lives as well. So wrath of man works out the righteousness of God. Only by genuine faith in Christ can we get the righteousness of God. In verse 21, what's the wherefore, therefore? Go ahead.
See, we're kind of, in verse 18, is our first fruit of his creation, of his creatures.
All right.
And so we're supposed to be swift here, so to speak, and slow to wrath.
Alright.
And because the reason why we're supposed to be slow to wrath, because the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God.
Alright.
We have to be hearing and speaking slowly. I was swift to hear, so to speak, slow to wrath. And so we have to be willing to quickly hear what God has to say to us, because we're contrasting hearing, speaking, and wrath. The wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God.
Mm-hmm.
And because of that, we have to lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness. And receive with meekness the grafted word,
mm-hmm,
to be able to save souls.
So the righteousness of God is very important, and only by genuine faith in Christ can we receive that. Now, there's two kinds of righteousness. One is practical, and one is positional. What's the difference? Practical and positional.
What's the difference in what?
Righteousness. Practical righteousness and positional righteousness. Jack Daniel.
Positional righteousness is found in Jesus Christ through salvation,
mm-hmm,
trusting in Him. And practical is our daily life.
The other life is practical. Positional, we've got a clean slate in heaven. But down here, our slate is not perfect. Maybe we try to aim at the righteousness that we have in heaven. But perfect righteousness is positional righteousness in heaven. That's right. So the righteousness of man and the wrath of God. Certainly, do people try to get righteous by themselves?
Yes.
Is it successful?
No.
In the eyes of man, might it be successful?
Yes, some people.
They say, look, that person, that blind woman, what a wonderful thing. They do, look, they're philanthropists, they give money to this one, this
well,
one. In the eyes of man, but in the eyes of God, and that type of works.
Yeah.
So we're going to get 10.
In the book of Isaiah, it says that type of righteousness is as filthy rags before God. And,
yes.
And sadly, a lot of deception goes on by Satan, who confuses people who look at works only, and they don't understand what somebody actually believes.
Mm-hmm.
And so people who aren't saved, perhaps their people are following them and thinking that they are, because it's what they are doing on the outside.
Mm-hmm. Things on the outside can be seen, but internal positional righteousness, can that be seen? You can't see it. No, it's a thing that God can see, but people can't see that. So that's verse number 20. Lay aside. Wherefore? What does that wherefore tie into? I think Dan mentioned that in previous verses. Lay apart. What does lay apart mean?
Lay apart.
Get away.
Take away.
Put off. Okay. Put off all filthiness. What is filthiness?
Any type of sin.
Any type of sin, wickedness, corruption,
uncleanness.
All right. Put it away. When you have a dirty shirt or dirty, coat or whatever, you usually either wash it, but you take it off. But put away all filthiness. Is there much filthiness goes on in our world today?
Well,
where is the filthiness seen and heard today?
Every place.
Where you go.
Namely? What medium? What
television?
Television, radio, movies.
Everything.
Your newspapers, magazines.
Internet.
Camden.
Yes, hello, Henry from Canada.
Hello, Pastor Wade. Thank you for this morning's service and this afternoon's Bible study. And I appreciated the preaching and the monthly song that we sang and Mr. Gerald playing. And I'm delighted to hear Kathy playing the piano again. I heard her once before. And wedding day, that's thank you so much for that. And this verse in James, I think it was Jimmy that said that wayside means to put off. In Colossians chapter 3, verse 8, it says, but now ye also put off all these, anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. Lie not one to another, seeing that ye have put off the old man with his deeds.
Yes. Well, bless you. I'm enjoying this well. Well, thank you, Henry. Thank you. Well, bless. Bye-bye. Henry from Canada. Good to see you. All right. Now, the wayside naughtiness, filthiness, rather, and superfluity of the whole thing. Go ahead.
The, during the first century church, this is before any of our modern-day media existed.
Yes.
It's possible to have solved the... the superfluity of that, you know, all these different things, the evil vices, this wickedness present in the absence of
right.
modern media.
They're still there, wasn't it?
And the media is only a reflection of society. I mean,
yes.
So, I mean, we're just people.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. So, we have it today. If they had it then, otherwise, James wouldn't have mentioned it to the land aside. Must have been their filthiness. You had homosexuality there, you had all kinds of things. You got the rape, you had adultery, all this evil stuff was going on in that apostolic age. There's no question about that.
But it's gotten worse and worse.
Oh, it's gotten much worse. And not only it's gotten much worse, but it's more public.
Yeah.
With the, media.
When I was a young person, they didn't say things like that on television.
Didn't say that, but now it's all open as far as pop, and TV, and radio, and internet, and movies, and...
Some of the worship that they had of Baal and Isaac was public.
Oh, yeah.
Very bad.
That was very bad.
Even when Moses was up on the mountain the second time...
They were up to play, didn't
they? Were all doing bad things.
Yeah.
That was pretty public.
Yeah, certainly public.
So, it's true. The only reason we have these things is because of the request of the people.
Why did Genesis 6 come about? And Genesis 7, 8, and 9?
The wickedness of man.
God saw the wickedness of man. He just wanted to kill them all, except Noah and his wife and three sons of his wife.
So,
you want to save the animals and the birds, but come on.
I think just how wicked it must have been when God had sent the flood. Compared to now, maybe we think it's bad, but what was it like then? There was no restraint.
No restraint, whatever. What's he going to send now instead of a flood?
Fire.
There'll be fire, isn't it? When's he going to send it? This month
after
or next?
Nobody knows.
What's that?
After the millennium.
After the millennium?
Uh-huh.
When's he going to send the judgment as far as the Great Tribulation period?
Nobody
after
knows.
After the rapture.
After the rapture. There's going to be lots of things going to happen in tribulation period, lots of different phenomena, and the terrible fires and storms and all kinds of earthquakes in various places and so on. So there's all kinds of things that are going to happen. The superfluity means what?
Excess,
all right? Naughtiness. What is naughtiness? Wickedness, all right? That's a good word. What is it?
Viciousness and depravity.
Viciousness and depravity. Okay, that's good. So laying aside that thing, knocking it away, and completely removing it. And then, what is the positive here in verse 21? Receive what?
The word.
The grafted word. How? With what method do we? What attitude? With meekness. What is meekness? How would you define meekness?
Lowliness, I guess.
Lowliness, all right. That's good.
Whatever most
says. Yeah. Anna?
Courage, gentleness, and control.
I didn't know that. Gentleness, control, right, meekness. All right, yes,
Mom? Yeah, I see.
Moses was supposed to be a meek man, and Jesus was meek.
Yes.
You know, after I'm meek and lowly.
Meek and lowly in heart, you sure say it, you see, your gift. That's right. That's the kind of, how many of you always your labor and every labor?
So whatever it
wasn't sissiness, it was. No, it was the gentleness, and this is a part of it. So with meekness, the engrafted word. What is the word that's talking about here? Television word? The internet word? Newspaper word? It's the word of God. What does engrafted mean?
It's already been grafted into us.
All right, grafted into us.
Well, I guess when somebody has a plant or a tree, and they take a cutting and put it on in a different location.
Or sometimes
a different plant itself.
Mm-hmm. Yes. BFT, questions at bftbc.org, 856-261-9018. Give us a call. Say hello. Glad to hear from you. Engrafted words. Now, yes.
Can I ask, what engrafted means? Could it be that you are engrafted by something? That you bought into it? It could mean that also, couldn't it?
Yeah,
that something engrafted you and now you believe in it?
Yeah, that should be. That's right. And so, yes, Ben?
1 Corinthians 9:1 Being born again is not corruptible seed, but an incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abides forever. And as we're born again by the word of God, at that point is engrafted into our hearts. And we have to continue to receive it with meekness in order to grow. Yes, and we must, in order to see what the word of God is, we engrafted word, God is inspired the Hebrew, Aramaic, and Greek words, and God breathed those words,
and then we have a translation of those words and a King James Bible. We should read it, study it, and know it, and have it make a part of us. Paul, in Acts chapter 20, told the Ephesian elders that something about the Bible, and he said, it makes you strong, I believe, unto salvation. Stronger, so let's see if we can find it. Acts chapter 20. He said, preach the word to these elders, the pastors, the bishops, their elders, their leaders. Chapter 20 of Acts, see if we can find that word. 20 of Acts. The word of God, what is that? Yes, in verse 32, Acts 20, verse 32. Now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and give you an inheritance among them that are sanctified. So it's a building up. The word of God builds us up. It's engrafted. We've got to make it a part of us. That's why it's important that we memorize many of our verses. When communists took over and burned all the Bibles that could burn, and when the Roman government took over and burned all the Bibles and crucified and killed the early Christians, what was the only thing they had left? Was his memory, what they could say. And if everyone burned our Bibles and we were put in a concentration camp of some kind, FEMA camp, whatever you want to call it, no Bible, they wouldn't permit it. We'd have to rely upon our memory, wouldn't it? Our memory, that's exactly right. So, this is very important that we hide the word of God in our hearts. And we may not know all these, but we try to do some of them will sink in and we'll look at them. And grafted with Savior's own. Now, well, how many tenses are there in salvation? Theologically, how many tenses? Savior's own.
30
days. Past. Past. And future salvation.
Saved,
e.g. Saved, all right, saved from the very position. Present salvation.
It's now.
For deliverance from the power of sin. God wants to be delivered from us. What's the future salvation?
From
the presence of sin. So you see, save your soul. Now, we're not sure whether all these people were saved, but if they were saved, this would be the present tense salvation. They will save your soul, deliver you from this wicked world, and actually save you from this superfluity of naughtiness and filthiness. If you're in the Word of God and you follow the Word of God, will you likely be filthy? No, you will despise filthiness. We were at a diner last evening, And right behind me, about 5 or 6 feet away, a man was using all sorts of filthy words, all kinds of swear words and cuss words. I asked my wife, I said, how old is he? Oh, about 40s and early 50s. What does he look like? Well, he's fairly good looking, but he's a little bit heavy, but I told her, I said, he's just spewing out, well, who's he with? A woman. What kind of woman is she? Well, she's an invalid woman, right? She's got a walker or something. She has some disease. I don't know why he was using such filthy language. But I mean, my wife said, oh, just don't listen to me. Well, I got good hearing. I can't help that. But it's a sad thing. What is that fella in his 40s and 50s talking to this crippled lady over here and filthifying this language? That's just what they do. That's just the way they are. Filthy language or nothing else. Huh?
I spoke to that group. That's her boyfriend.
That's your boyfriend?
Yeah, he takes really nice care of her. And so I had taken your John 3:16 track to get for our waiver that we have all the time.
Yeah.
I like to give stuff to the
right.
And so I had extra one and I offered him one. He said, no. Then she wondered and I looked at it and he didn't. So she said no too. I said, my husband wrote this about John 3:16. And he said, we belong to Oakland Baptist Church.
It sure did sound like it.
I tried to tell her, I gave her a calendar and I said, well, we have her church in our house. She said, you're welcome to come, you can look at me. She says, oh, I've heard of you. Which, you know, that's really rare. And she was telling you somebody in her church, she was telling who it was. Well, I took it in, but I don't know if she heard of
it. Case, what? Yeah. Did you start have glasses? Did you wear glasses last night? You said it happened last night at the restaurant. Did you have glasses? The one that was cursing? And they brought the Oakland Baptist Church?
What?
Did the man have glasses?
I don't remember.
I don't think so.
Was the car tall?
No,
he was very short.
Because I've been to that church and I don't like it. They said that the Bible didn't come from God.
It didn't come from God?
Right. Since it's something that
didn't. What's the name of the church?
Oakland Baptist Church.
And that's why he talks that way. Because the preacher doesn't believe the Bible came from God.
That's right. I went to that church.
Oh, I know.
A couple, I didn't like it. I left.
Yeah, well, that's interesting. So anyway,
I don't think
there
we go.
Anyway, I probably don't even go.
And that's completely disrespectful to talk in front of a woman.
Yeah. I in public, in the restaurant.
Talk in front of a woman, I mean, I don't care whether it's a girlfriend, wife, or whatever it is. You don't do that. You don't.
Yeah, but your wife is hearing that, too.
Well, no, her hearing is not as good as mine.
But you see, it's...
Fortunately, her hearing is bad. She couldn't really hear. Fine, you couldn't hear that, could you? The language, you can hear the language.
No, they were pretty close to us. They were just a table. Right?
Yeah, they were five.
They should have talked like that in public.
I know.
I see them all the time.
But that's to show that if a woman finds language offensive and tells him about it, then he should no longer use
that kind of
language.
She should have piped up, shouldn't she?
She should have gotten that story, reached back
to church from where she goes and said, wait a minute, we shouldn't talk like that. We're like, we're church members.
But what about all the other people around them eating their meal?
Well,
they got to get it?
They were on the side right near the wall, so nobody else could get it.
Okay, all right.
Even my wife's been there, because her hearing is not as good as...
Well, I don't notice a lot of things. I'm sorry, I'm not interested.
Now, Bill's here, he's got a hearing in one ear, but not the other. Now, my wife, I don't know if she has hearing either. It's too well.
I'm
not too sharp.
I just am not attuned to that language.
No.
You can hear.
So go back to the superfluity of modernness and grafted words is able to save the soul, deliver the souls, past, present, and future salvation. That's very good. So the word of God must be used, it must be read, it must be followed. Absolutely. Get that?
In this verse, though, it's not returning to salvation, is it?
Probably not. These people are saved. It's probably present-day salvation. Deliver us from sin, wickedness, and superfluity of naughtiness and filthiness. I think that's probably the application here. All right, and then in verse number 20, I think we read 22, did we not? No, I didn't.
Yeah.
So 21, we're at 21. Verse 21. What does this mean, doers of the word? What's that mean?
Doers.
We're on verse number 21.
Oh, 22.
Don't just talk about it. Do some people talk about it and not do it?
Yeah.
Okay, is that it?
Well, the word of God changes.
Oh, that's the word of God changes, all right. Follow, what's your hip, huh?
This is one of my father's favorite verses. And three favorite verses.
Uh-huh. Yep.
He's a doer of the word.
Right.
Not your own.
Now let me ask you this. Can you be a doer of the word if you don't know the word?
No.
You can't. You know, God knows where you do it. But just because you know it, does that mean you do it?
No.
No. So you got to be hearing it, knowing it, and doing it both. Yes, what?
Well, you can do as much as you know.
Yes.
Like a new Christian.
Mm-hmm.
And there's some Christians that are Christians for a long time. They don't know much of anything.
Uh-huh. Well, that's true.
She's right.
Well, I know about at Haddon Heights Baptist. They were talking about their wonderful teaching the years ago. And they, some of those people didn't see you in your class.
Yes.
They didn't know anything.
No,
but I can sympathize with them because I'm getting that way too. You forget what you know.
Possibly.
You know it, but you can't come up with it.
My question is at bfbc.org, 856-261-9018. Give us a call, say hello, give us some questions and so on. Now, let me ask you this. Why did James write this verse 22, do you think? What motivated him to write this?
They weren't doers.
Probably they weren't doers. So he had to encourage them to be doers.
Yeah, they were just talkers.
What is the negative on this verse? What's the negative?
Not hearers.
Not hearers only. What's the difference between a doer and a hearer? What's the difference?
They hear
it,
but they don't do anything.
Is it good to hear the word of God?
Yes,
it's good. You have to hear it first, very good.
Yeah.
But just to hear it and not do it,
no.
What does that make of it?
Could maybe.
Could be hypocrite. Could be deceiving. Yeah. Highfalutin, egotistical. Oh, I know all this, and all this. They may not do it, but they know it, and they probably be braggadocious.
Pharisee.
It has to be.
What else?
Pharisee.
Pharisee, is it? Yeah, what?
It has to be burned into your
heart. Burned into your heart and thought. Is it easy to be a doer of the word? Who must give us power to do the word of God again say? Jesus Christ, you got the Holy Spirit. Walk by the power of the Spirit, you got to be a doer. It's not easy. Does the world want us to be a doer of the Bible? They want us to be doers of the Bible.
It makes them feel guilty.
What do they call us? What does that mean?
They think
you're
holier than they are. You're much better.
Is it true?
No.
Well, it isn't true?
Yes, it is.
Well, that's what they think.
Yeah.
It is true.
Well, we don't go around like...
No, we're not bragging, but I mean...
Better than
is it true? Is it true for saying we're holy under the belt and then Tammy? Tammy, go ahead, then.
I think they think we're Pharisees and we're just making it up.
Yeah.
We don't really believe what we say
right.
We believe.
Right.
Some
people don't.
They don't understand what the wholeness of that is. They don't understand what this means to be saved again. And so that's a
that was wrong that way, but
yeah, I
also should always, if we can, and I'm putting it back on myself,
yes,
that when we meet people like that, if it's at all possible, we should give a word,
yes,
of the word that would encourage them or you know, tell them about the
right.
Jesus.
I think, I think when they use that term, holier than thou, they think we're bragging probably,
yeah,
boasting, right? But that's not what...
No,
But in fact, in theological fact, born-again Christians have the holiness of God given to us by God himself. The righteousness on the books of... And so, but they don't understand anything about that. That's not what they mean when they use it.
They just think that we think we're better than them, and that's not true.
Well,
nobody's better, but look.
It's
one
true.
Way it is, right, but
no, true,
not the way, but not the way they think.
Not the way they think.
I just read in one of the papers lately, either the Inquirer or the Courier, you know, where you write in to somebody and they're supposed to give you advice.
Yeah.
This woman was writing in that she has friends that her and her husband are friends with. They constantly invite them to church.
Uh-huh.
And she said, you know, I don't know how to tell this lady. I just don't want to go to church. And why won't she leave me alone? And blah, blah, blah. And I think to myself, you know, the answer that the woman gave was, you know, how to tell her not to bother her anymore. But, you know, the biggest compliment someone can give you is to invite you to church. Because they want you to be saved.
Yes.
They don't want you to die and go to hell.
Right.
And if someone really cares for you, and they say to a friend, you know, will you come to church?
Yeah, the good church, Bible, good
yes,
church.
Right. Yes. That they're giving you a compliment. They're saying to you, I love you.
Mm-hmm.
I want you to be saved.
Yes.
I don't want you to go to hell.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I didn't know how to write to this woman to tell her, you know, that answered her, that this is what she should have answered. These people care about you. They love you.
Yes.
They want you to be saved.
That's good. Now, this last part, Yvonne.
In the Wendy's, going to church, don't get it.
That's a combination of boxing with your fists and martial arts, and they beat everybody up, but he doesn't do it. He was like the wear the shirt.
Mm-hmm.
But anyhow, I gave him a calendar, and I told him about our church and our house, and I said he was going to say, I'll look this up. He's no interest in
it. I hope you will.
I hope he didn't.
I'm glad that you
I don't know what that had to do with what we're talking about.
Well, Joanne mentioned about wanting to get shaved, wanting to come over.
Can you see the word?
Yes.
Yeah. Out of the blue, I'm always talking to people. That's how we met. Anthony's granddaughter-in-law.
Yes. Tammy.
Pastor, sending warm greetings to you and to all our BMT church family there in Collingswood and those watching by internet. Thank you very much for this morning service and for this afternoon's Bible study. We are also grateful to Mr. Carroll and Mrs. Waite for their ministry and song. Audrey's hymn was a tremendous blessing to our hearts. God bless in his love, Carl and Vicki, with a smile on his face and a wave.
Wave to Carl and Vicki. Wave to the state of Maine. Thank you, Carl and Vicki. Appreciate that very much. Now, the last part of verse 22, doers, not hearers, what's the last part mean? Deceiving your own self. What does that mean?
Cheating.
Deceiving your own self.
Cheating.
Cheating? Possibly. What else?
Lying.
What does deception really involve? If you wanted to deceive someone, what would you do? What would you say? How would you go about it? Who's the master deceiver in this
world?
Satan himself. How does he go about it? How would someone go about it if they wanted to deceive someone?
They lie. They manipulate people with lies.
Lying and manipulation.
They suck you in.
But they got to give you a little bit of truth.
A little bit of truth. Would wolves and sheep's clothing be sort of deception?
Yes.
How would that deceive people?
a sheep is not going to hurt you.
A sheep's not going to hurt you. Would a wolf hurt you?
Yeah.
Would you rather wouldn't that tear the big old bears apart? They run through the house out in the wildebeest. So deceiving, who do they deceive if they're not doers but just hearers? Who are they deceiving? According to verse 22. Their own self. Can people be self-deceived?
Yeah.
Yes. Can also deceive others?
Yes.
Yeah.
Now remember it says in the last days, deceiving and being deceived. I think in the book of Timothy, maybe Titus, I think in the book of 2 Timothy. The last days, deceiving and being deceived. What does that mean?
I think a lot of cult teachers are self-deceived.
Yes.
Because they think they're teaching the right thing. And
but they're not.
They're completely mixed up.
Now, this list of Word of Truth that we read out this morning, and we had the back rack of the Word of Truth people, that we listed the whole list of Paul Crouch and various others that believe that once you're saved, you become a little God. What kind of deception is that? Is that true?
No.
Mormonism and Jehovah's Witnesses, not. This is a deception, isn't it? Deceiving you, and people can be deceived others. Does Satan just want to deceive himself, or does he know what he's doing?
He knows what he's doing.
He knows what he's doing, but he's deceiving others.
And he knows he's going to lose.
Yes.
That's one of his names,
isn't it? Deceiver, one of his names. And the people, for instance, the apostate heretic preachers, are they deceiving others?
Yes.
Yep.
Do you think some of them are also self-deceived?
Yep, some of them.
Do some of them know what they're doing, do you think?
Yes.
Yep. Some of them know what they're doing, and they're deceiving others. We're in a serious situation. I've always looked at TBN, County Broadcasting System, and I knew it was charismatic, but reading this Word of Faith back there, those 21 men, and all of them, thank you, the Lord Jesus had no deity while he was on earth, and that everyone was saved and became the little God. Never knew the half of what they really believed. I heard them with their own mouth say it. Yeah, Bill.
some of those TV creatures maybe deceive themselves, but some of them know exactly what they're doing, and they are intentionally deceiving the people who listen to them. When you think about that, they know that they are lying to God. They are lying about God. They are misleading those people. They know that God is aware of everything that they're doing. And, you know, you have to wonder how evil they must really be.
Mm-hmm. So the love of money is really
all evil. That's right. So James, faithfulness to the scriptures, he commands these 12 Christ scattered abroad to be doers of the word, not deceivers. 23, let's read 23, 24, and 25 again. For if any man be a hearer of the word, and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself, he goeth his way, straightway forgetteth what manner of man he is. But whoso looketh into the first law of liberty, and the riches therein, not being a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the word, this man is to be blessed. All right, verse 23, there's an illustration here. What is the illustration? A hearer, not a doer, is like what?
A man looking in a mirror.
Yeah, look in the mirror. Now, when you look in the mirror, what are you looking for?
Yourself.
Yourself. Dirt, maybe. What else?
Reflection.
For that?
Reflection of yourself.
You're seeing a reflection of yourself.
Right.
What about yourself might you be interested in?
Sure.
Could be the hair, could be the eyebrows, could be something, egg on your face, you know, something, isn't it? Hair, but so if you look and you're just a hearer but not a doer, one that looks into a glass, and then in verse 24, what happens?
He sees himself and he walks away.
Okay. Is it wrong to look in a glass?
No.
No. A lot of people don't look at glasses. You wish they'd look at more glasses.
Yes. The mirror doesn't lie.
But some people don't care what they look like, apparently. They think they walk out of the thing like they walk out of bed or something.
Some people, they spend too much time.
Well, that's true.
I don't think in this particular case it's wrong to spend too much time in the Bible.
That's right.
But, you know, looking at the perfect law of liberty and continuing therein, that makes a change.
But in the natural type of a mirror, you're talking about here, some people do spend too much time. We never spend too much time, could never, in the Word of God. This glass, the Word of God. Now, it's... Yes.
But the problem is they don't know what they're seeing. It looks fine.
Well, let me put it this way. We're not looking into the Bible. We know that's true. It never will lead us astray. But if we have a different view of what we should look like,
right,
we look in the mirror, you may come out one way instead of another. Am I right?
Right.
You think you've got Anna?
Well, I mean, there's some things as far as hairstyles that some people might choose one over another, and they think one looks better than another.
Mm-hmm.
But that's different than saying they have chocolate ice cream all over their face, and they say, well, I'm just going to go around with chocolate ice cream on my face.
That's true. Now, let me ask you this. When a peace person looks in a mirror, like we're supposed to look at the Word of God, are some people more sighted than others? Are some people a little bit blind or not seeing too well when they look into a mirror?
I guess.
Is it possible? Now, if they can't see too well, how are you going to come out of that mirror? But what if the light isn't right? What if you're in a mirror in a dark alley? Can you see much? Much reflection? No, but I mean, suppose the lights go off. Can you use a mirror to reflect on yourself?
Yeah.
So blindness sometimes is a fact. Now, the scripture here, in verse 23, one that hears but doesn't do, like, beholding his natural face. What is a natural face? Oh, that's in the end.
Also, sometimes if you don't use a mirror, it gets dusty, and you can't see yourself well. Or if you don't spend enough time in the Bible, you might get dusted over, and you have to... the Bible is at fault, but you've allowed yourself to neglect care and interest in the Bible.
Are some versions of the Bible dustier than others?
Yes.
What do you mean by that?
They don't get used.
Oh, yeah.
A
anybody of the
It's a fault with the mirror itself.
It's not a problem with this.
Right.
Yes.
It's a crack.
Manufacturing problems.
He forgives.
He goes his way, then you're all going your way after what it's done. But what does the next thing say?
He forgives.
In other words, does that man or woman do anything about what he sees?
No.
What he or she sees? No. So, if you look into the scriptures, should we remember and do the best that we can what we see and behold? And that's the picture, isn't it? This is a terrible thing. Forget it. What matter of man you are. Now, how much time does it take to look in a mirror, put the mirror down? How many seconds you talk about to forget? That's a pretty quick forget process, isn't it?
Yeah.
A couple of seconds. So, what
somebody matter? Somebody could call you, a baby could call you.
I suppose. So then, the application, if we read this, you read. Ah, whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty. What is the perfect law of liberty? The Bible. And what should we say about different versions of the Bible? What kind of Bible should we be looking at?
Well, it's based on the proper Greek, proper Hebrew text.
Proper Greek and Hebrew text. Text Receptus text, Hebrew Masoretic text, properly translated. And if we don't look into that Bible, what kind of mirror are we looking at?
Imperfect.
In the New Testament alone.
It might be distorted, like some of those funny mirrors
A person looked at some mirrors and looked back to look fat. Other mirrors make them look skinny.
Real skinny.
Wait a minute. So if a person looks into the other type of versions of the Bible mirrors that are not found in the right text, like the ancient Bible, how many thousands of differences and wrinkles do they have in these other words that are different, like in the New Testament alone? How many differences? 8,000 differences. 8,000 differences. So if you kind of look at the first of all, liberty, wait a minute, where the 8,000 is right, where it's wrong, and it's completely, you can't, even if you try, you can't live up to 8,000 things, which is right, you're confused. He looketh in the perfect law of liberty, and what else? What does it mean to continue therein? What does that mean?
That's how you live.
All right, continue to follow it, to abide by it best you can, as the Lord would help you. What is he not? He does that.
Not a forgetful hearer.
Some people can listen to a message or teaching, walk out the door, forget every single word that was said. Other people can listen to something, go out the door, and remember just about everything. We're different people, different kinds of people. It's just easy to forget. But not being a forgetful hearer. What's it?
I said that's why it's nice if we would talk about that when you said all sorts of other things.
Yes, well, we can't
remember.
Why don't you lead us in discussion? I'm going to look for you for your edification. All right. Look at not being a forgetful hearer, but what?
A doer
of the work. Now, the difference between a hearer and a doer is what? Hearer and a doer.
Sometimes that's very good.
Good hearer. Good hearer, but what's the difference between a hearer and a doer?
This is not forgetful here because it's a remembering hearer, then they're going to also be a doer. But if they're a forgetful hearer, then they're not going to be a doer.
Which would you rather do, be a hearer or a doer?
Well, see, before you can be a doer, you have to
be a hearer.
But what if you're only a doer?
You might do the wrong thing.
Do the wrong thing. You don't know what to do.
You may not be saved.
May not be saved. What if you only hear what happens?
Well, you're learning a lot.
Yeah, but what if that's all you do?
You're maybe holding your face in natural glass, you know, straightway going whatever. This is a straightway forgive what manner of man he was.
Yes.
That's what you like.
You keep your dirty face. You keep your unkempt hair. That's on. You keep your tie to shadow. Yes.
Well, I was just saying, before you're saying that's what happens, because you make these decisions and they're all wrong. And then you get saved, you think, well, if only I could have gone back and done the right thing, but...
Can you ever go back?
No, the Lord forgives us, but I shall not wish that I had been able to be early, so
yes.
I could have done better.
But can you learn from your past mistakes?
Yes.
We should learn. Does everybody learn from their past mistakes?
No.
Oh, yeah. They should. Is it easy or hard to learn from any mistake?
It depends.
Well, it depends on the mistake.
Depends on the mistake, whether it's easy or difficult. But for most people, do most people think they ever make a mistake?
Some people think they never make.
Some people, do they think they never make a mistake?
Right.
Some people think they're perfect. Is that ever true of anybody?
Yep. Some people think they're perfect.
They think it, but I mean, is it true?
No.
Not true,
yeah. You
tell them
that.
Right.
Sometimes it's easier to learn from your mistakes when people are gracious and merciful.
Yep.
And they pray for you and let the Lord change you rather than, you know, just writing down, you know, the their opinion or their word of God down the scrub.
Yeah. It's better to be quiet and silent and cautious and meek, you know, and approach it. Yes.
I was just trying to say something, you know. The definition in NA, Narcotics Anonymous, is the definition of insanity is do the same thing and expect a different results.
Yeah, that's true.
It's not going to happen.
No.
It's going to be the same. If you keep doing the same thing, right, the same thing's going to happen here.
Exactly.
Eventually, again.
That's a good definition of insanity, isn't it?
Right. Expect, do the same thing and expect a different result.
No, absolutely. Now, also,
I believe if you are a true born again Christian, you cannot help being a doers.
Uh-huh.
You just hear, you don't do anything. It just doesn't happen to a born again Christian.
So
you cannot avoid not being doers.
So born again Christians must be doers as well.
There's a connection.
There's a connection.
Yeah.
And if you're not a doer,
you cannot help not being doers.
Uh-huh. Yes, Tammy?
It's possible to be a carnal Christian. Mm-hmm. And if you're a carnal Christian, or if you're very young in the Lord, what other people may think that you're not doing, you know, maybe you're ignorant because you don't know that something isn't, you know, commanded by Scripture, or, you know, it may be just your own sin. But to be able to say, you know, you can't use the word of God to go and say, well, that person's not saved because they're not doing this.
You use the term carnal Christian. How would you define that? So it's got the
one that's walking by the flesh versus walking
by the flesh, trying to walk by the Spirit. Okay. Now, is a person, a Christian that's walking with the flesh or carnal, likely to be a doer of the word?
No, I don't think so.
See, that's it. But the one that's walking with the Spirit, are they likely to be a doer of the word?
Yes.
Yes, they are, because the Word of God would encourage them, and the Holy Spirit would encourage them to follow the Word of God. But that's good, Kathy, as far as normally, generally speaking, a born-again Christian should be a doer of the word, no question about it. It's unless there's a carnal thing just taken over and shuts that group. Eddie?
Yeah, most, you know, I tried talking to a couple of people, and I'm gonna be, I gave up. Even my best friend, he believes in evolution, everything happened by itself, and I talked about, you're frustrated. And I just gave up on him. I really did. I believe what you want to believe. How many times I tried talking to him?
Uh-huh.
And that's it. What do you want me to say?
What's that expression? You can lead a horse
to the water, but you can't make him drink it.
What does that mean?
It means you can't make him drink. Exactly right. You're there,
yeah.
You know, but you can't.
There's another expression that has to do with college. You can lead a kid to college.
Make him think.
You can't make him think. Exactly right. Going to the drink with the horse.
Should we take a mirror with us all the time?
Yeah, Carolyn, go ahead.
Yeah,
take a mirror with us. That's right. I'm drinking. Yeah, Carolyn, go ahead.
I'll start again. In this, on my Bible, I have some word from where it says 2 Corinthians 3:18,
uh-huh.
And it says, But we all with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord.
Yes, that's a good verse. 2 Corinthians 3:18?
Yes.
That's a good verse. Amen. The Spirit got out trying to get something.
Well, they're talking about the mirror. If we took the mirror with us all the time, or if we read the Bible all the time, and
right.
then maybe that helps us to become doers, to see what really is in the glass so that we know.
Right. And that's why I encourage every one of our people in the church and others who are listening to today, either by verse today, get to turn the year. Right now we're in the book of Job. We read this morning the book of Job, and Job's calamities. And Job, he said, I'm sorry I was even born. I wish I had never been seen the light of day. And then also he says in Job, he said, I just wish the Lord would just take me home. Call it quits. So much pain. Some of these things we read in Scripture, the Word of God, we can sympathize and empathize, and we can see. But yet, when his wife said, curse God and die, he said, no, I'm not going to curse God. So different things. But the Word of God, the mirror, shows us what we can be like, and it will help us to get victory in all the different things. Poor Job, he had these miserable comforters, and how many were there? Start out with how many?
Three.
And then how many added? One more. Elijah was added. And they were his friends.
Elijah's friend, like,
well, he was looking at the wrong side, too, see. All of them were miserable, see, but there were three and then the four, see. If you read it, Elijah had all kinds of questionable things, too.
Well, Elijah was younger than the other
two. Yes, oh, yeah. He was a junior. But he didn't want to talk until they had finished. But anyway. So, what is the last part of verse 24, verse 25, I should say? What's the last part mean? What kind of man will be blessed in this deed? One that does the Word of God and looks in a perfect law of it. So, you've got to look first. Not a forgetful hearer, and does best as he can. What is that? Blessed. Because what does blessed mean?
Happy. Doing good.
Happy.
You have a lot of happiness.
Okay, joyful and Lord's encouraging. Questions at bsbbc.org or 856-261-9018. Give us a call. It's a comment. Hello. Yeah, Eddie.
Bless you. You're where you want to be in life. You're doing good. And, mm-hmm. You know, that's a blessing.
So let me ask you this. Instead of the one, for instance, in verse 25, that looks in the perfect law of liberty and is a forgetful hearer, what kind of reaction and result will he have?
Unblessed.
Or cursed. Unblessed or cursed. Because does God want his people to walk with him in light of his word?
Yes.
What did the Lord Jesus have to say about that? He that loveth me, keepeth my word, and he be loved of my Father. Now that's not easy, is it? Not easy. My sheep hear my voice, but before I know them, and they
follow me.
Is that nice? I give them eternal life. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me.
Yep.
Now that's the sheep. When a goat pretends to be a sheep, is he a real sheep? Remember the judgment of sheep and the goats. I mean, these are the sheep nations of the godly nations that follow, and the goat nations are the ones that reject God's plan. So, all right, then, did we stop in 25? Where did we stop?
We stopped at 25.
Okay, let's read 26. And 27 together. If any man among you seems to be religious and driveth not his tongue, but deceiveth his own heart, his man of religion is vain. Pure religion of the Father is this, to visit the fatherless and the widows in affliction, and to seek himself unspotted. If any man among you seems to be religious, what does religious mean?
Faithful.
Faithful. What else?
They go to church.
They give out, they go to church. Now, we have a world filled with religions. What are some of the religions that the world's filled with? And is there any contrast between the world of religions and the Christian faith?
Yes.
And so what's the difference?
So many people think they're saved, and then so many people think they're saved, but they're really not.
All right, that's one difference. Yes, Tim?
Trust in works, as opposed to...
Yeah, that's why they think they're saved.
Trust in works? Anna?
Well, we have a relationship, but they don't.
All right, we have we're relationship with the Lord by the general faith in Christ. We have no
no man cometh unto the Father but by me.
No man cometh unto the Father but by me. The only way through there. Right?
So that's the only truth.
Now, of all the religions in the world, have any of their founders been raised bodily from the grave?
No.
What's the only one?
Oh, that is Jesus.
Christian faith, Lord Jesus Christ. He's the only one.
And he's the only one. What?
It's been raised from the grave for dead and living.
Well, what about what's his name? He was dead. Jesus. Lazarus, he was a stinking corpse.
No, he was raised and then he died again. But he was raised in the bodily resurrection from the grave, never to die again.
Okay,
resurrection bodies.
Who
are you talking about? Lazarus. The Lord Jesus. Lazarus, you're talking about Lazarus. So, if Lazarus was raised and then he died. Two other people were raised.
Before Lazarus,
well,
I think.
Jairus' daughter. They're named son. So there's a daughter, a son, and then an older man, Lazarus.
People were claimed to be head of any.
Dorcas?
Yes.
Is that the name of the daughter?
A woman at the door.
Lazarus, the widow's name, son, and Jairus' daughter, none of those people were claimed to be leaders of any type of religion,
right.
Nor was anyone attributed to them being any leaders.
And also, they died in a certain time. But our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, all these other people, we've all these religions that they're dead leaders, absolutely dead. We have a saved, risen Savior in the Father's right hand, and that's the difference between them. Now, since any man's religious, what does that mean, seem to be religious? Why do you put that in?
Which they're really not.
Maybe really not. See, a lot of people brag about their quote-unquote religion. Oh, yeah. I'm this or I'm that or something else, you know. Seem to be religious. All right, here's the thing. And then, what's the thing? Bridle is not his tongue. What does that mean, the bridle not your tongue?
And I'll keep it under control.
Under control? What is a bridle?
Well, that kind of goes back to the verses on the previous,
a little bit earlier, where it says,
he's
closed
feet.
Closed feet. Mm-hmm. Those of you who are familiar with horses and all, what would a bridle be? What is a bridle?
It's putting the horse's mouth.
Something putting the horse's mouth. What's
and you can control
them. Right.
Make them go which way you want, because it hurts the horse's mouth, moving that bridle around. You want them to turn.
Yeah.
You push the bridle, and the horse will move his head that way.
Yes. Now, if his neck ring, put the neck, that'll turn him. That's the way that way.
But
the bridle, especially, does what?
It's more sensitive.
More sensitive. And namely, the bridle, of course, the whole bridle is the bit of the ring.
Right.
The whole thing's a bridle. And what is the bit used primarily for?
Controlling,
was it?
The tongue.
That's right. What else?
Essentially,
you don't
control the animal.
Okay, what would be the necessity for a rider to
stop.
Use it? All right, stop. That's what the horse understands. The thing about it is, you have a straight bit and you have a curved bit.
Okay.
See, my horse that Dad gave me years ago, my dad, he was a strong horse.
You had a horse, you said?
Yes, but I was a little boy, and 12 or 13 like that. She was an Arabian horse. She was an Arabian mare and strong. So I couldn't just use a straight bit on that horse. But that one stopped her curved bit. See? When you pull like this, crawling on top rain, the two rains on top. Top rain, it goes right to the roof of her mouth and it hurts. She will stop.
Is that cruel?
Well, it's cruel, but if you're trying to stop that horse, you know the way to do it, otherwise she'd run all over the world. See?
Yeah, and they get to know that you're going to do that.
That's true.
So that's going to be stop.
You only have to pull it a little.
So, bridle is not his tongue.
And they cry out?
No, they get used to it. You know, their mouths are used to this.
God made them
for
these
bridles?
Well, no, but...
You must have, I
guess. No, it gets tough. Like, once you have something in your mouth a while, it makes calluses and stuff.
So, but the horses are made, if you're going to have a riding horse, they've got to obey you. It's just like these race horses, you know. They've got all kinds of things that make them obey. Those little jockeys standing up on their toes, you know.
the one that goes around the neck, did they use that with plow horses and stuff versus a riding horse, you said?
You mean like the reins, you mean?
Yeah, you said one that went around.
Well, they're not, it's like this. Then the reins come from their mouth into your hands here. Yeah, if you have two reins, that means you've got a curved head and a straight head. You use the top rein or the bottom rein, you pull them into that. But if you turn it to the left like that, they'll turn if they're neck rein. If the neck reins are trained, right, they go to the right neck, but some are not neck rein. And you have to pull. Got to pull the head over. Now, our horse never had to do it. You just had the neck rein. Some horses don't get it. To turn to the right, you got to yank the head over to the right. So anyway.
You said no matter how hard you try, some horses just don't get it.
Well, you have to be the rider that's in control of the horse. Otherwise, the horse just runs away from you. Now, as far as the bridling of the tongue, what do you think that implies?